Welcome to the Under the Flyover 2019 General Election Podcast Special. And taking part in our virtual hustings is Anna Jones, the Liberal Democrat candidate in Croydon South.
Hello and welcome to Under the Flyover's Election Special, Inside Croydon's podcast where we're speaking to candidates from across the borough who are standing in the general election on December the 12th. And with me here now in our studio is Anna Jones of the Liberal Democrats, who's standing as a candidate in Croydon South. Anna, good morning. Thanks
Hi
for
there.
Coming.
Good Hi. Morning.
Give each of our interviewees in this podcast the same opportunity. You have 1 minute. Why do you want to be an MP for Croydon?
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity for being here today. I do appreciate it. I am the Remain candidate in Croydon. Let's remember that. I'm a Liberal Democrat candidate. I've been a Liberal Democrat for many, many years. I think Brexit is one of the most catastrophic things that could happen to the UK. It will have an impact on residents across the country, including in Croydon and Croydon South. So, number one, I'm your Remain candidate. Number two, I'm passionate, and I know everyone says that, about making things better for people in the areas they live. I was a councillor in Epsom for 8 years, so I understand the issues that go on a door-to-door level. I don't intend to climb any career pole within politics. If I become an MP, I want to be a really good constituency MP. That is what I want to do. We need a solution to housing. We need a solution to the climate emergency. We need to deal with mental health issues. These are all things I have experience on, and it's all something I can make a big impact on in the area.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself in terms of your background, where you live, what you do, and how you came to be involved in politics.
Well, I started delivering Liberal Democrat leaflets for Ed Davey in the 97 general election. I was in Kingston, and I've been a member probably around that time, and I've carried on. I moved to Epsom and had a family there, and one evening my in-laws were over, and there was an option of going to a drinks do Christmas party for the Liberal Democrats, so I went to that rather than stay home. And I signed up to become a local, stand in the local elections, and I was told I'd be a paper candidate. I wasn't, I won. We took the ward, we went from being the opposition to taking all three council positions in that ward, and I've been a campaigner ever since. I've been on the planning committee, I've been on the scrutiny committees, I've been on the HR committees, so I understand lots of things about how things work. I have sisters with disabilities, one learning and one physical disability, so I understand the changes that have gone on. I know what's happening to people who are vulnerable. My daughter has gone to school locally. She's just left Riddlesdown, so I know, and she went to the Hayes as well, so I know what schools are up against. So I'm a very local person. And professionally, I'm an HR, I work in HR, I have my qualifications and things like that in that, and I'm back at university studying for a business and occupational course as well, because I strongly believe in lifelong learning, gives you lots of opportunities.
Now, you say you're the Remain candidate.
Yeah.
Back in 2017, you got what, 2,000, less than 3,000 votes?
A bit more than that.
But but you're standing against someone... A Tory MP who's gone for hard Brexit.
Yeah.
Surely the thing to do would come up with some Remain alliance and stand aside, wouldn't it?
For whom?
Well, for the candidate more likely to challenge Chris Philp.
Well, I'm the only candidate that's likely to challenge Chris Philp. In the Euro elections, it was the Liberal Democrats and the Brexit Party that took the votes in Croydon South. Labour weren't in it. Labour aren't campaigning in the area. Labour are not liked in Croydon South. Yes, there was a protest vote against the coalition in the last general elections, completely understand that, but we're getting it back and we've got it back. And that's across the country, but particularly in Surrey and Hampshire and the South East. Labour are not going to be campaigning for Remain. That's just Jeremy Corbyn is not a Remainer. And we are out there every single day knocking on doors, giving out leaflets, getting in contact with people. And Tory voters will vote Liberal Democrat. They absolutely will. Chris Philp was a Remainer. He's now gone hardline Brexit. His voters and his constituency are not happy about that. And they are lending me their vote. They will never vote Labour, and they will not vote for this Labour council, who have had a quite catastrophic impact on the south of the borough.
Why then do you think the Lib Dems make zero impact when it comes to getting anyone elected onto the council?
I'm not sure if we can say zero impact. We're working really hard that next time round we are there. It's always been quite a strong red and blue, this Punch and Judy politics that goes on, and it's now time for a change. And that's what we're doing. So my team are working really hard. We are out every single day, and I've never had so many people get in contact on Facebook, on Twitter, on my emails, saying that they want to come and help and show the Tories, actually, don't take our vote for granted. We are Remainers, we are not hardline Brexiteers, and that's not what they want in this area.
So, as a Liberal Democrat of some long standing, what would you say you're most proud of in your party's achievements in its 5 years as part of the Tory austerity government?
Yeah, so lots of things. Equal marriage, let's remember that was a Lib Dem thing. Raising the basic level of income tax, that was a Liberal Democrat policy. All the work we did on the green infrastructure, that was Ed Davey and what he was doing there. The pupil premium, let's look at that, we did that too. So there were loads of things we did that actually Tories take credit for and Labour don't want anyone to remember. And those are the sorts of things. The international fund going up to 0.7 of GDP, that was a Liberal Democrat policy.
A decade of austerity, is that the price worth paying?
Well, not all that austerity was us. So let's not put a whole decade of austerity.
Austerity. How else was George Osborne able to introduce those policies without Lib Dem's
but
support?
But not the whole decade of it.
How many times, please, you're not letting me finish.
Well,
I'm asking a question. How many times between 2010 and 2015 did Joe Swinson vote against the Tory whip?
I'm not sure on the Joe Swinson voting record.
It's a simple answer.
But let's look at all the things we did get done. And sometimes when you're in coalition, you have to vote for things you don't want to get the things you do want. And we, of course, made some mistakes in that coalition, absolutely. But we got lots of things done. And don't forget that we stopped the Tories doing all the cuts they wanted. And the cuts that were done, they were less than the Labour, what they were promising to do. So it's very easy to say the austerity agenda was all down to Liberal Democrats. It absolutely wasn't.
No, you facilitated it. No one's saying it's all down to Liberal Democrats.
But cuts had to be done. Cuts had to be done, didn't they?
Oh, yes.
So if some cuts were done...
But George Osborne this week has said that there was no need for those austerity
policies. Well, it's easy for him to say that now, isn't it? Because he's tried to soften people up.
But that's
his point of view. But cuts did have to be made. And look at the cuts from onwards, from when we left that coalition. Look how the Tories are spending money now. That's what the Tories are like without us restraining them.
Jo Swinson, at the start of this election campaign, said that she will become Prime Minister. Can you take her seriously?
Yes, if enough people vote for Jo Swinson, she will become Prime Minister. That's a fact. It was a very strong ambition, but don't knock someone for being ambitious. The likelihood, obviously, now is that isn't likely. We don't think that's going to happen. It's a shame. It would have been great. But we will get more MPs. And that's the thing. We are the Remain party.
More MPs than what? More MPs than
we have now.
You have now, but not more MPs than you had in 2010?
I don't know. Let's see what happens.
One of the shining achievements of the Tory austerity coalition was the Localism Act. When you look around Croydon today, how do you think that's worked out?
I don't think that's going particularly well. I think the way that Croydon Council have used the south of the borough in a reckless manner, I think, is wrong. They know they're never going to really take many council seats in the south, so they don't worry too much about it. So they don't treat the area sympathetically.
As I say, we've had a full email postbag of questions from our many, many readers, some of which I will pass on to you now. Jeff in Causdon, so down in your patch,
yep,
says, what changes to education would you seek to help children realise that their choices will affect their lives?
It's a really good question. We need to stop the cuts to education. We need to get more teachers back in. Don't forget the cuts to Croydon schools have been really high. You know, they've affected people disproportionately in Croydon. So let's get more teachers in. Let's get food in for people. Let's make sure there's enough qualified staff in there. There's loads of evidence that shows if you show opportunity to children when they're 5, 6, 7, they will achieve. If you wait until they're 15, 16, 17, they're less likely to. So early years intervention, early years investment, and stop the cuts that the Tories have done will make a massive difference to education. And my daughter's gone through the state school system. I know what it's like. She didn't go private. We didn't have those sorts of opportunities. And I want every child to have a fantastic, and the Liberal Democrats do, a fantastic start. Because get that right, and then your prison numbers drop. You know, people go on to achieve all their goals, and that's fantastic for the economy and for society.
We've got a couple of questions from different people about housing.
Yeah.
Felicia from Croydon says that she can't understand how it's possible for a public organisation, she's talking about Croydon Council,
yeah,
to be able to create a private building firm, she's talking about Brick by Brick,
yeah,
with no form of ring fencing on its profits. How has Brick by Brick benefited the borough as a whole?
I'm not sure it has it? I've not seen that waiting lists for council houses have gone down at all. I'm not sure that Brick by Brick is in any way effective. It's not what I would do. There's lots of land and money going to it, but where are the results? So I'm agreeing.
Where do you stand on right to buy and building social housing by councils?
We need proper social housing, proper council housing that people can afford to rent. And if over a period of time they rent to buy over many years, then that's absolutely fine. We can't sell off housing stock and not replace it. It is not acceptable that young people and older people who are in full-time work can't afford somewhere to live. So let's invest money in real social housing that is properly affordable, not a little bit less than market value that's still out of the reach of so many. My daughter's going to be one of these people very soon. And how is she going to get on that ladder?
You know, there's she's also got all that student debt you've loaded onto her as well.
Well, we'll see about it if she does or not. But we need to make sure that there's enough housing, it's good quality housing, and people can afford to live there.
Now, Diane asks about corruption within government departments.
Okay.
And also local government.
Yeah.
What would the Liberal Democrats do about this?
I'll be honest, I'm not sure if I've read any particular policy on that. I have been on an audit and scrutiny committee at local council, and I found that the better your scrutiny is at local level, the better your money spending is. So if you have a system where the only people that really scrutinise what's going on are members of the ruling party, then you're in trouble because stuff will go wrong. In Epsom, it was a cabinet, it was a committee system, and so we had access to pretty much everything, and we could call things in and we could scrutinise things, and we did. And it meant that everybody had to justify pretty much anything that that committee said. I also think we need to have more scrutiny at education, the money being spent in schools. We need to check that that's going to where it should be by giving more responsibility to local education authorities to do that, because that's a lot of money, and let's have scrutiny. So I've been on those scrutiny committees. I want more of it.
Tom from Purley, he wrote in to say, the parties tend to answer questions by attacking their opponents, their political opponents, rather than taking responsibility for owning a question or criticism, even though there are parts of each party's manifesto that have some merit. So what three measures taken from Labour manifesto or the Conservative manifesto would you consider supporting?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? So I think the way I would look at it, and I'm not trying to be sneaky in any way, there are thrusts that are similar across all parties. I don't know the Labour and the Conservative manifestos inside out. I know their top line things, as you would expect. They are both saying they want to invest in a green infrastructure. You can question whether they can afford it. You can question the means of which they wish to do it and whether they would do it. But I would agree we need to do that with the green infrastructure. They've all said that they want to sort out social care. We have to sort out social care. You know, like many people, my mother's elderly. What is going to happen to her as she gets older? She's a pensioner living on a pension. So social care is the other thing. And of course, education. So I don't agree with how they think they're going to do it, but I do agree that we need to sort out education. So I'm not being critical of the parties in any way. I just don't know if they've got the right ways and means of doing it, but I agree we have to sort it out.
Jeff from Causton, you spoke about
earlier. Yeah, Causton's doing well,
Well, he gave us a whole heap of questions, one of which I gave to you earlier, but he asks for you to talk about the urgency of climate emergency.
Yeah.
What evidence would you put forward if you met someone who had doubts about the urgency confronting us?
I'm not sure that I need to put forward lots of evidence. I think it's just safe to say, Google climate emergency UN, Google climate emergency WWF, you know, do those sorts of things. All the evidence is there. I think, in fairness to Jeff, we've gone past the point now of saying we need to justify why we're campaigning for a climate emergency. It is happening. We know lives are being lost across the world, and we know it's going to affect the poorest across the world the hardest. So we must do something now. All the evidence is there.
Okay. In the Lib Dem manifesto, it gives a deadline of 2030 for 80% of energy in the UK to be generated from renewables.
Right.
That includes using incinerators, doesn't it?
I imagine, I don't know the detail of incinerators, but across any programme, you're going to have to use a mix of sources to deal with it. I think the biggest things we can do is, one, reduce. That's the number thing. And I don't know if you've read in the manifesto about insulating homes, particularly in starting with those on the lowest incomes, most likely to have fuel poverty, which is going to cut a massive amount of energy use. So it's looking at prevention as well as solving things.
But we're in a local authority that's neighbours, a Lib Dem local authority, that has supported and is backing an incinerator right on our borough's boundary, which will produce 300,000 tonnes of CO2 every year into the atmosphere. How can you possibly justify that?
I think it comes down to what is it. There will be a purpose for why that's happening. They're not doing that because they are stupid or mendacious. They're doing that because they need to deal with a problem. I go back to, let's look at the source of why we're having to burn, why we're having to incinerate, and look and tackle at that instead.
Thank you, Anna. Final question then, which should be on your pet subject.
Oh.
Comes from Stephen in Addiscombe.
Is it sort of slightly vague folk 70s records? No?
Oddly, no.
Oh, I thought that was my pet subject.
What positive things do you think we will lose if the UK does leave the European Union?
Our freedom to go and live and work and do everything we want across the whole of Europe. Our freedom of movement is a positive thing, and it's been taken away. The freedom of movement of great people to come over to the UK and to support our NHS, our industries, our creative industries, if that goes, we're in real trouble. I work in HR. I do a lot of recruitment. I speak to a lot of people at director level. That is my job. And they are already struggling to attract fantastic people. I was chatting to someone, and he runs an award-winning gaming business, and they're already struggling. They can't get enough qualified people because the people from the EU don't want to come here anymore. So let's get freedom of movement and sell it and remind ourselves as a positive. we will have our Remain bonus, which is £50 billion to spend on schools and hospitals and the climate emergency. That's not a made-up number. You know, I'm sure, that that's a costed and slightly understated amount that we would have if we remain in the EU. So there's two things that go into broader things.
So finally, to summarise, give you one, two sentences.
Yep.
Why, on December the 12th, should the people of Croydon South vote for you, Anna Jones?
Because I'm the Remain candidate for Croydon South. I am going to work incredibly hard to fulfil the Liberal Democrat manifesto that would help the people of Croydon South. It will help their schools, it'll help the climate emergency, it's going to help their children themselves with housing and employment.
Anna Jones, thank you for coming under the flyover for our election special. Thank
Many
you very
thanks.
Much.
Thank you.
Thanks to all our readers who contributed questions for the virtual hustings and for listening to our podcast. For unmatched coverage of the election across all three Croydon constituencies between now and December 12th, keep reading insidecroydon.com.